What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
As we look forward, it's important for me to remind everyone who the Houston Texans are as an organization. Our culture has been repeatedly under question this season. So let me clear that up for all of you right now. We are an organization committed to excellence, both on and off the field. We operate with integrity, character, a winning mentality, and a strong sense of community. We believe you can't go wrong by doing what's right and ask our fans to trust that we know what's right. In everything we do, we are an organization committed to bringing a championship to the city of Houston.
Yep, can't agree more than that. With that,
it's hard to dispute that.
It's almost impossible.
Almost impossible to dispute
an organization that. Committed to excellence. Mm-hmm. Nothing says excellence.
I heard it. I heard what was on the screen.
Yeah.
I heard what Jack wrote for him. It's true.
Well, is Jack a speechwriter now, too? Well, you know what?
Likely.
Somebody brought this up. Everybody refers to all the things. On Twitter, somebody said this weekend, all the things that Jack does well. And what? I mean, he does so many things well, and nobody can really pinpoint any of them.
Yeah.
They just go, oh, yeah, well, Jack is, he just does. What does Jack do well?
Yeah, I'd like to. I know what it's purported, but it's nothing that seems to bear any fruit for the organization.
Well, create chaos, climb the ladder. He's been doing that.
I think he's added to his skill set.
No. He's been pretty damn good at that. Other than that, I mean,
Field Yates told me that in our conversation on the phone, I think I can tell you this. He just said, if he's the guy, he's really good. If you have questions about religion, that's your guy. You want to talk about if the earth is flat, that's your guy. You have issues with baby mama or your girlfriend or wife, or that's your guy. Like, Jack is the guy you go talk to for stuff that's not really football.
Yeah, life.
Yeah.
He's life a life coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But how about picking GMs?
That's what I'm saying. I just have to trust that Cal is committed to excellence and doing everything it takes to bring the city a championship. And if that includes keeping Jack in the building and letting him choose GM, I have to trust Cal. Because I had concerns about if the Texans were headed in the right direction, if they were trying to do everything it took. Mm. But after the press conference,
excellence?
Yeah, I was like, okay, well.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Are the Texans Patriots South or Raiders East?
No, Cal said they're not the Patriots South. He said that just right after his commitment to excellence, he said we are not the Patriots South.
On an unrelated note, you can look for Matt Patricia sometime soon. Defense coordinator.
Who's he going to be coordinating under?
Doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
They're just going to hire him and not ask that coach?
Well, and here's the, in all seriousness, now, when Jack was hired, and Florio came out with this yesterday.
Tori, you mean we are being run by Dr. Rick? No, I actually would rather be run by Dr. Rick from those commercials. Like,
oh, yeah.
Is this? Yeah. So I use the State Farm or whatever. Bloop. Is that called the?
Yeah.
Bloop. I know you want to say it, but don't. Say it. Hey, guess
we
what?
We all see it. We all see it.
Hey, guess what? They don't need to know your name.
Yeah, the waiter.
I wish this team was run by Dr. Rick because things would get rid of the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
If Dr. Rick, what's that commercial? What's the company?
It's a Progressive commercial.
Yeah. If Doc Flo has to go, it just should be all Dr. Rick.
Yeah.
If Dr. Rick was running this team, which we wouldn't be doing. He goes, you know what? No, I know you want to give Laramie Tunsil a 3-year deal for $22 million. I'm not going to do that.
No. See?
Cal?
Okay, so instead of acting like your parents, you're acting like Bill O'Brien.
Cal is the one he's talking to. No. Hey, it's not okay to talk on a press conference, okay? I know you're an owner and you want to talk. Just don't talk. Dr. Rick would give them some good common sense advice.
In all seriousness, okay, so the rumor was, and Mike Florio intimated this yesterday, and he intimated something else that we'll talk about in a minute too. Mike Florio intimated that there were rumors out there that Nick Caserio was possibly going to Carolina, even though that smoke really there was no smoke.
I was told it was very real. I was told it was very real. Oh,
that he could have gone to Carolina?
Yeah, I was told it was very real. Well,
you're the first one that said that.
Yeah, it's the first time I heard it, but I was told that, oh, no, that was real. That was a very real thing.
Okay, so right now, though, okay, so if that's the case, and if Joe Brady is possibly their guy, they'd better move as fast as they did on Caserio because Joe Brady is a real, real possibility with the
Jets,
I forget who is it that Joe Brady is. Joe Brady is a real possibility.
Atlanta. Wow.
Yes, Atlanta and is really hot on Joe Brady's tail. So if that's the case, then they had better move.
They can't move fast.
Well, they moved on Caserio when they found out. Yeah, but
this is they're gonna have to.
Well, if they really like Joe Brady, though, and I'm going to tell you this, there are a
Deshaun
lot of...
Deshaun needs to like Joe Brady right now.
Well, if they can't get a hold of him, if Deshaun won't answer his phone, then sorry, Deshaun. You wouldn't answer your damn phone. He's pulling a Tunsil. He's pulling a Harden. He's saying, I ain't talking to you. That's all. How's this taste?
He's on vacation.
Yeah, Cal intimated that as well.
But he is. He's in Cabo right now.
So you can still answer your phone in Cabo. I don't know if you heard.
You can get it,
especially when the owner's calling you. You can answer. I know he doesn't want to get into all that crap. But the other thing is this that Mike Florio intimated is that Jamie Roots is out. Now, he made it seem like this is a Jamie Roots decision, which is, it's kind of ironic because my wife, you know, Channel 13 and everything else, she got one of his books this weekend. She got a book this weekend where he sent out to different people, I would imagine.
Right.
And he sent the book out and sent it to her. And I was like, that's a shame. This timing seems odd that you're getting this book right as it looks like Jamie Roots is walking out the door.
Right.
But Florio said that this is
Mike
Jamie
Florio
Roots.
From Pro Football Talk.
Mike Florio
Talk,
from
yeah.
Pro Football Talk. He said this is a Jamie Roots. And I hope it is. If Jamie Roots leaves the organization, God forbid that this is another Jack Easterby, stirring up more and just getting rid of everybody, napalm and everything that's in his way. Because the rumor mill that we've heard is that Jamie wanted one of these guys, these Corn Ferry guys, which all of them would have gotten rid of Jack Easterby. Corn Ferry guys.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he also intimated that that the Texans were negotiating with Omar Khan, and it was a done, or maybe no, that was might have been Schefter and Chris Mortensen, maybe. No. I can't remember who it was.
Omar Khan was the guy, and Lewis Riddick was second.
Was the guy.
Yeah,
like it was really moving forward.
They were negotiating.
Yeah. And then Jack's like, ugh. Now I had heard that Jack freaked out. I think after some players told him, nah, I ain't going to have your back in this whole thing, in this whole process. And he went. And that's when he made the end run to Cal. He went straight to Cal because he knew, I hate to do this. This is so mean, but let me just go ahead and go trick him again, I guess.
Yeah.
He probably felt a little guilty about
tricking Cal. Is this kind of like when Dell talks to Gilbert and he tries to get him to say, black guy stole my bike?
What else can we talk about? Y'all want to talk about the playoffs now?
No, hold on. Let's.
Do you sure?
We got a couple minutes where we got to go to
break. Isn't this like where Dell talks to Gilbert?
Let's go through this. Are you comparing me to Easterby, per se, or comparing Cal to Gilbert?
You're a lot like Easterby, first of all.
Who is the worst?
How so?
Here you are still.
How am I?
You are still. You're undefeated against Dave Tepper. You beat him.
You beat him.
Did I beat him?
You did. Oh, who's out of the building and who's here?
Well, I mean, he left on his own accord. So I didn't get him out of the building.
So apparently, so is Jamie Roots. We don't know.
But let's get back to your comparison.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, trying to get you to do stuff. I'm not comparing Cal to Gilbert.
So are you saying Cal is more susceptible to things?
When John said Cal's like Gilbert, he didn't mean to compare him to Gilbert.
No.
It's like
you and Gilbert and Cal and Easterby.
Is Cal like Easterby or me or Gilbert like Jack?
You know, how easily you can manipulate their thoughts. That's all.
I feel like
Gilbert's not easily manipulated.
Gilbert goes hard in the paint. I don't think he's easily manipulated.
No, I don't think. No, actually, I don't think he goes.
If you want to know the truth? Probably.
I feel like
probably
I feel
easier. For
I feel
Jack.
Like if yeah. I feel like I drove the cow's house. Well, I could get him to say things easier.
Yeah,
than
Gilbert.
I could get Gilbert to
and
say
if
things.
And if Easterby worked on Cal, this is if Easterby worked on Gilbert. This is what he'd say. Yeah, whatever. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Keep those
egg rolls frying. And Jack would be like, what does that mean? And he'd be just thinking, he's trying to think that's some kind of subtle shot at him.
Well, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that apparently he's easily influenced by Jack Easterby.
Oh, yeah. You think?
Apparently.
You think?
Yeah. Kind of like when you try to get him to say, black guy stole my bike.
I didn't get him to say that. He said that.
You've done that several times.
But after he said it the first time.
Okay, at least Gilbert has realized this and now thwarts your advances.
It's only because he had said it eight times
he does
before.
Thwart you.
I'm waiting for Cal to reach that point where he can thwart Jack's advances.
You know, honestly, I don't see any thwarting.
I see a lot of shimmying.
Remember where Rick's like, hey, you want to be my god? Rick saw it first. Hey, you want to be the godfather of my child?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm here forever.
I was told that's not true.
Okay. That's a hell of a rumor then.
Yeah. No,
that's
no.
really made the rounds like
well,
the Jeff Long
there are a lot
story.
Of rumors out there about stuff that I was told that's not
You're
true.
You're told that's not accurate?
That's not accurate.
Okay. Because I was going to say, Rick saw it first.
It still maybe. I was told by someone high up in the organization that's not true. Although I don't know that they knew or didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just the commitment to excellence thing. I'm glad we started the week like that, knowing that this organization is committed to excellence and being the best that they can possibly be on the field because it's what they do.
Do you think he and Mark Davis are friends? Cause if you don't know, that's a Raider slogan that he stole. So is he? Are they friends? Do we know that if they hang out?
I'm not
prepared to have this discussion.
Well,
what?
It doesn't feel
well, when they were younger with Mark with that haircut. The two of them.
Yeah, I got to
hold on a second.
I could see that
haircut.
Mark Davis
wasn't. Oh my God! Isn't it Jeff Daniels? No.
It was kind of yeah. It
was
Jeff
there,
Daniels.
There's a movie called Simple Jack. Doesn't he have a haircut? It is technically, but
well, got okay. Some of those vibes.
Okay, so are you going to tell me that Ben Stiller's character didn't have the same haircut as Mark Davis?
Seems like.
Can you believe they did a movie called Simple Jack?
Would never get off the ground now.
Never get off the ground.
And that was only 11 years ago, or 12 now, 2021.
Yeah.
Never would get off the ground now.
Couldn't get off the ground.
It's not commitment to excrement. It's commitment to excellence. Okay, let's get this straight.
Let me get this straight. A text message can get me the phone number can get me a firm homeowner's quote, and I can make a change today to start saving money immediately. That's right. A text, the word money, because that's what you're going to save, to 232323 can lower your insurance rate substantially. All you have to do is make sure that you at least check it out. At least check it out, because for those of you out there who have been loyal to your homeowner's insurance company, go find out what that loyalty has meant to you in terms of money by just shopping. What TGS does is they've aggregated all these A-rated insurance companies, and when you text, they are going to get you a quote from an A-rated insurance company that's a firm quote. So what you see is what you get, and you can compare it against what you have right now and find out how much they can save you. TGS Insurance saves on average $900 annually on homeowners insurance. And that's not a small amount of money. That's a good chunk of money to put back into your pocket or to put it back to wherever you need to shift some money around. They can do that for you with this savings on homeowners insurance. TGSinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Some of you have wanted to understand Jack Easterby's role in hiring Nick. There's no secret about Nick and Jack's working relationship in the past. Because of their professional history, I sought out Jack's feedback on Nick as a leader, as I did with others during my decision process. We think the New England Patriots, specifically Robert and Jonathan Kraft and Coach Belichick, for being a first-class organization that builds winners. With respect to their organization, we do not consider ourselves the Patriots South. We are here to lead this team the Texans way. Following this press conference, we'll hit the ground running and get to work on our football team.
Ooh, I'd rather do it the Patriots way if you want to know the truth.
By the way, why are you thanking them for running such a great organization? What does that even mean?
I know.
Well, thanks to another team. Boy, thanks, guys, for running a great organization. What are you talking about?
Well, and the only thing he says was, I sought out Jack Easterby.
Not accurate.
Yeah.
Jack sought you out.
Yeah, pretty much.
We've been, you know what? It's funny how this stuff is breaking. Like, did you see what Chris Moore? We've been telling you all the stuff that's going on. The only thing I didn't know is that it got that deep with Omar Khan. But we've been telling you guys what is going on with all of this stuff the entire time. And now people are acting like, oh, they're clutching pearls. This is what's so maddening about this. This is unlike anything I've ever seen. In all honesty, this really should be a docuseries on Netflix. If somebody had the ability to take Jack's, you know, from the line about the, like, I'm gonna be somebody when I, you know, this is my goal and I'm gonna do this, and if you could have a character who played Jack Easterby and Powder, I don't know, the same kid who played Powder, or maybe the guy from Midnight Oil, play Jack and then follow him from doctoring up his resume a little bit with Jacksonville to then somehow getting in the door at Kansas City and then kind of fooling Belichick and then worming his way into Josh McDaniels because he was going to be a Colt. I told Ballard, I'm like, you could not have controlled him. Oh, I could have made you. I think the more stuff has gone sideways, I think Ballard's like, oh, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, I guess.
And then here.
Until Frank Reich makes goal line decisions.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that later. The whole thing. But so all that stuff that's taking place, this could legitimately, if you take your emotion out of this, this would actually be an unbelievable story on like a Netflix, a four-part documentary series or an HBO thing. It really could, because if you had the video, if you had somebody playing it, just think about this. This guy who came from really nothing relative to the football community to be executive vice president of football in about 4 years time or 5 years time. And then on top of that, to be able to manipulate an owner to oust the head coach who had brought him in and who they ran a power game against the owner, against another guy, Brian Gain, and other people in the building, you know, and they usurped all the power. And then just have him have to, you know, cut Bill O'Brien's throat. Then Bill O'Brien to secretly be cutting, you know, well, at least people believe Bill O'Brien's cutting his throat with the SI article. Mm-hmm. And even though Bill's gone all like, I didn't, I don't think Jack had anything to do with my firing. That's what he said on a podcast with Mike Lombardi. Really? Just to kind of, you know, like, well, Bill doesn't even think he's had anything to do. Why would he do anything with the SI article? Bill doesn't want his, number one, Bill's going to get hired by Alabama. Supposedly, he's going to be the next offense coordinator of Alabama. O'Brien is. But, because it's his, you know, it's the rehab job. But then all the way to Jack running an end around and throwing a Hail Mary right when he's about to potentially be ousted, because Omar Khan would not have kept him in the building. I can tell you this. Omar didn't want anything to do with Jack. Nothing. I know for a fact from talking to a source, Omar Khan wasn't even, that was one of the,
well, honestly,
he didn't want to interview for this job if he thought Jack was going to be
with all of this stuff swirling, I mean, in the SI article and everything, every single thing, I can't think of a GM other than Caserio that would keep Jack Easterbrook, that would promote, that would say, yes, no.
He had to have a personal relationship with the guy. He had to.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. So this thing has gotten really, really, really out of hand now because Deadspin put out an article. It was written by Karen J. Phillips.
Yeah, Karan, I don't really. Do you pay attention to Deadspin's been over for about four years.
Deadspin's trying too hard here. It's trying really hard.
Yeah.
To become relevant here.
But they've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, no. The title of it is Racism is Ruining the Houston Texans.
There are people here in Houston who do believe that.
No. We had a call last week of a guy said, and I actually. I had some people talking to me and said, thank you for standing up for Bob McNair because it is ridiculous. He made one mixed metaphor and then a Republican that didn't want a Democrat. This is certainly circumstantial evidence. And every other thing points against Bob McNair being a racist. Every other thing. All of his donations, having Rick Smith as his general manager for years. You don't put an African American ahead of your. If you're a real racist, there is no way you would let that an African American run your organization.
Well, Roy Nell Young told us that the McNairs have given millions to ProVision
last time
to ProVision.
Yes,
for inner city kids. I mean,
Well, the guy who called up said I used to cut Bob McNair's lawn, and he said Bob McNair's dad. I guess I think it was Bob McNair's dad. Bob and everyone that was there was African American. All the workers there were African American, and they said they just love the McNairs. So whatever the case may be. Oh well, you had all African Americans that worked for you, really? So
have to say this. It does sound a little weird.
Doesn't
listen,
look right. Yeah. But
we love Mr. McNair, all of us in the yard.
Well,
like,
maybe because they were really, really nice.
It is
people.
What it is. I know. It's just I'll tell you a story that's going to prove my point. Everyone that was mowing his yard was black. Like, no, okay, guy, is that how it starts?
I don't think this guy. I don't know. He sounded like Dell. He didn't sound black.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, now you have to answer questions about what black sounds like. Congratulations to you.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're saying.
John Granato is ruining ESPN 975 because of racism.
So, can we stop with that? But now there's a whole article here, how Cal, that apple didn't fall far from the tree. He's a racist because they hired a white GM.
Yeah, I don't even want to give this any shine. This article is a try-hard. Deadspin's been a try-hard company for 4 years. They've really lost relevance, and I read it, and I was like, this just isn't very well done. I mean, you're going in with a narrative, and you're trying to fit everything around it. The fact is, I think that they would have had a minority general manager. But Jack shut it down. And I think Jack shut it down because he needed somebody who could save him. And really the only guy he knows in football that would save him would be, I mean, he got the one guy. He got Nick Caserio. He got the one guy who could save him.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. So, and I don't think Jack was racist in doing that. He's trying to save his, it was a save your own ass situation. And he did it. So now what?
Bieniemy apparently wants nothing to do with the Texans job now.
Right, they can try now, but
Flus has said he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Listen, Bieniemy is still going to have a hard time getting a job right now. I don't. I've, I'm not sure the interviews have gone great for him. He's not a great interviewer. He's just not. And you hear that Atlanta could be where he's going.
No, Brady.
Oh, no. Yeah, it could be where Brady's going. Yeah. Jacksonville with Urban Meyer. The Texans, we'll see.
No, it's going to be Daboll. It's a Bob Lamont thing. I mean,
it probably is, but I'm telling you.
It's a Patriot Bob Lamont.
They got to slow down and get Deshaun Watson involved in this process. Well,
I think Daboll would be somebody that would be easily that you could convince Deshaun this is best for you. Look at what he's done with Deshaun.
Did you see what? And I thought this was the right way to do it because Deshaun didn't come off as being a diva at all. The article and his comments, the comments I've heard from someone close to Deshaun is that all he wanted to do was give his thoughts on stuff, like just be part of talking about it and discussions, and he didn't want to pick the coach. He didn't want them to pick it based on what Deshaun. If there was somebody that he didn't care for, he wanted to be able to say that. Like, I really just don't get a good vibe from him. And you know, before you go too crazy about how he shouldn't have that.
Well, there are
idea. Did you hear?
There were plenty of comments of Deshaun, shut up and throw the ball.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Did you see what? And they made a really good point. Sunday Night Football yesterday, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth made the point that when you get right down to it, it's about quarterback and coach. Drew Brees, Sean Payton, Andy Reid. You need to have both.
Yeah.
You know, Brady and Belichick. You need to have both. And when you think about it that way, because those are the two faces of there's the face of the team and then the face of the locker room a lot of times, especially when they're a really high-end quarterback. There is something to be said for wanting to make sure that that doesn't mean that the guy gets to pick the coach or anything like that. But just to say, you know what, I vibe with this guy. I like this guy. Now, Deshaun did cut for Bill O'Brien too, more than once. That Bill O'Brien was the right guy. So, but I think it also gets to the fact that Deshaun is amenable. He's coachable. He's not a tough guy for coaches to deal with or personnel. That's why having him involved. Even if it's he feels involved or feels heard, that would have made makes a big difference. And to let Jack do that, then Jack should have just cut his own throat. I put something on Twitter yesterday. I was so pissed off. I put something on Twitter because I'm tired of doing. I feel like I'm doing everyone's job for them on this stupid thing. Like, why is this hard? Why is this hard? I just basically said Deshaun. I'll pull it up right now. But Deshaun basically let this slide, and people heard me say this, and they thought I'm quote unquote blaming Deshaun. This is not what I'm doing. I'm not blaming Deshaun.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is, I said Deshaun needs to realize that he could have made demands for Jack Easterby to be out a while back, but he let him slide. After letting him slide, Jack went backdoor and circumvented the hiring process that Watson is upset about. Do the math and demand the change, Deshaun. And that's true. Just demand the change now. It's not too late for him to demand the change.
Yeah. Deshaun made reference to him by saying there's too many people in the building that think they have power, and that's got to stop. We need one voice, one leader, one. And maybe that's it, and maybe he's under control with Caserio in the building. Maybe because Caserio knows what, and they all know what Jack can and can't do. Whatever, the optics are terrible, and you got to get Deshaun back on board. 7:30 ESPN.
Do you guys want me to find you great deals on two a vintage Miami Dolphins jersey so you can be the cool hipster that has a Dolphins jersey before he becomes a Texan? I can get you to those sites.
Dolphins jersey?
No, one Dolphins jersey so you have the vintage Tua jersey before he becomes a Texan. You want me to get you sites for those?
We talked about it last week about that being and the idea that you're trading Deshaun for one of your draft picks already traded.
Stop. 7:30. On the other side, let's talk about the games this weekend. Let's do that on the other side.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
In my opinion, Brian, is right now we have a vision
If you will, if you follow me for a second, of the wall, we're going to build a wall.
The Texans are building a wall?
Who's paying for this wall? Are we paying for it with draft picks?
No, I think the Colts are going to pay for the wall.
Wait a minute. And did he say, and the Colts are going to pay for it?
Well, that was implied. He didn't actually get to that. But I think that's implied. Considering what we've heard about wall building, it's always someone else who's going to pay for it. So I think the Colts will pay for it with the tears of Colts fans after watching Frank Reich's decisions.
Ooh.
The AFC South coaches were great at decision-making this weekend. And by great, I mean terrible.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the games this weekend. Starting with that Bills game. First of all, how was that not a fumble at the end of the game?
They didn't have any on television. They didn't have a lot of explanations the last couple minutes of the game.
No.
That I have absolutely no idea
how you could rule that.
That, can you imagine if the Colts had... it's Phillip Rivers who can't run a four-minute drill. Did you see? They started the drive with 437 or whatever.
Did you see his Hail Mary?
When Jacoby Brissett doesn't come on the field, I just thought, what are you doing? He threw a 39-yard Hail Mary pass.
Oh, my God. And did you see Quincy Avery tweeted out, I can throw it further than Phillip Rivers.
Oh,
100%. Oh, he absolutely can. He absolutely can. I will say this. We talked about all of the games this week, this weekend. I was perfect this weekend. I missed every single game. Every single game I missed.
I killed the Steeler game. I told you they would crush Browns with no coaches.
No.
And it was actually worse.
It was
actually worse for the Browns. They had no offensive line coaches. They had players acting as coaches.
They had no offensive line. Did you hear him after the game? Baker said, yeah, so we lost Joel Bitonio, and we had a guy step in, and he was awesome. And then he got hurt. And the guy that took over for him, I introduced myself to him in the locker room before the game.
They didn't know.
They didn't know the guy.
Somebody from Northwestern I've never heard of.
He didn't know him.
They said, Chris Collinsworth said, I'm not joking here, this is probably the first time that a lot of the players have ever even seen this guy.
He said, I introduced myself to him in the locker room. He's on the field for the game, and they beat the snot out of the Steelers. Oh, my God. That was
the Steelers. Well, Ben helped. Ben helped a great deal.
Yeah, Ben did.
The Steelers are a mess. I mean, the first snap is over the head. Ben is over. The Steelers are in the same. The Steelers are in the same boat as the Colts. They're in the same boat as the Colts. You got enough to be pretty dangerous, but the difference is the Colts can at least run the ball. The Steelers can't even run the ball.
Well, the Steelers were the Aggies from 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, you want to talk? They were blazing a trail, and then they just all got tired. They got really, really tired at the end of the year because they sucked at the end of the year. You want to talk about a team that just fell apart at the end. And then, there was a lot of, to win by three, I'm going to tell you what, the books had a field day on that game. Everybody was on the Bills.
But everyone's on the Browns. They pushed that number to 5 by game time.
Wow.
I don't understand. I don't understand what it was.
The Sharps were on the Browns.
Well, must have been. I just know the number went from 6.5 down to 5. The Bills, everyone was on the Bills.
Everybody was on
the Colts. Let's talk about this for a second. Something happened in the Colts game that I guess has happened a couple of times. I saw it happen 2 weeks ago, and I just thought it was a mistake, and now I realize it's an analytics play.
Going for two?
And I talked to Chris Ballard about this yesterday, and I know Chris Solis had said something too. This is out there. So there has been a study. Now pay attention to me because this is going to be very hard for people to grasp. It's still hard for me to grasp. It's just too early for us to be able to grasp this. So the Colts were down by 14. They score a touchdown, and they go for two.
Well, first, there was a penalty, so they got it closer. That's why. there was a penalty on the extra point. So instead of at the three, it went to the 1.5.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it went to the 1.5 yard line.
Okay. But this has still been going on, by the way. This has happened, I guess, a couple of times. There's a thought in the analytics community. There's been a math run on this. And here's what the thought is. The Colt, and probably because it did get moved, once it's moved a yard and a half closer, the odds of making a two-point conversion from 1.5 yards are way higher than 50%. The Colts were, quote-unquote, going for the win. They wanted to try to win the game. So they're trying
to get actually from the 2 to 1. From the 2. The NFL is at the 2-yard line.
That's right, so even closer.
Right.
So the Colts are from the 1-yard line. There's a high percentage of scoring, you know, in that case. So there is a thought in football, the percentages of the odds of making a 2-point conversion, 1 2-point conversion out of 2 tries is going to be higher than a road team winning a game, you know, and scoring having to score 2 touchdowns. So the idea is you can go for 2 on the first touchdown, and if you don't get it, the odds of you getting the other 2 and making up for it are very, very high. The odds of getting at least 1 of 2 2-point conversions are very high mathematically. So the concept is go for 2, cut it to 6, and now you have 2 field goals to tie, or you have a touchdown to potentially win the game. I don't know if this is going to catch on or not. It's just so, it runs so far against the norm in football standards. But Frank Reich is a guy who went for it in his own territory against the Texans and cost himself what would have been a tie because he wanted to try to win. We remember that game from 3 years ago, I guess. That was like crazy. But Frank wants to win. He wants to create a culture of winning. And the Colts and Ballard had no problem with Frank going for it on fourth down there because the analytics said the probability of winning, and the Colts actually use in-game analytics, the probability of winning goes down if the Colts kick the field goal. It actually goes down against that particular offense. I think the owner may have gotten a little fired up about that decision. I know I was fired up about that decision. Like, what are you doing? Why would you not just take the point, especially for a guy who cannot fit a ball into a tight window like Phillip Rivers? I just think that you have to call plays with Phillip's lack of arm strength in mind.
I don't even like the third down play call.
Terrible third down
play
call.
If you know you're going for it on fourth, then sure, if you trick
them,
if you trick them, you might score, but why not run it up the middle twice if you think going from the 1 is the right choice?
I've got a coach here that says if I'm up by 7 in the fourth quarter, if the touchdown puts me up by 7, I go for 2 to make it a 2-possession game that they can't even tie.
Yeah, this is.
But the thought is you kick the extra point so that you go up by 8, make them get the 2.
Well, Romeo.
Yeah. He says, I'm going for 2 now.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
Yeah. I'm going for 2 now to put us up by 9.
Well, Romeo did that.
Yeah,
well,
Romeo did that.
He attempted to. I've seen it up close. Well, not up close, but I watched the game last year. Miami was down by 14, Miami Hurricanes, and they scored a touchdown and went for 2 in the fourth quarter to go down by 6. And now they scored in their next possession to tie it, but of course, because they're Miami, they missed extra points, so they didn't take the lead anyway. But it happens. Teams do this now quite a bit.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know if it's going to catch on, but kick the extra point. 7:42 ESPN 97.5. We're just touching on these games.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of stuff. We haven't even touched the Rockets. Man, did they look good? We'll talk about that on the other. Let's finish up these games. We haven't even begun to talk about these NFL games. We'll do that on the other side. But first, talk about Gulf Coast Chevy.
Well, so it's Craig DeSurf and it's Rick Drenner, and it's the people who I've been speaking for years and years. There's not much turnover at all over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They're in Angleton, and if you've ever been to Angleton, you know it's kind of down home country, good people, and the whole nine yards, cobbler and whatnot. But it really is, that's a big plus because what you get is there's nothing slick going on over there. The salespeople don't rush out there to start the process of getting you in and ensnaring you in their web, and they're going to really high pressure you. That's never going to be the case. Craig DeSurf doesn't stand for that. And what he wants you to know is when you come out there, you're going to be in in charge of the car buying experience. You're going to be in charge of deciding whether or not that GMC Sierra pickup truck is the right one for you. You're going to be the one who is in charge of deciding what the best purchase that you can make is going to be, what the best program is going to be. Your service is the same service department that they've had for years and years, always rated number one for consumer satisfaction on the CSI, Consumer Satisfaction Index. And right now, a 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab, there's a $6,250 purchase allowance. That's phenomenal. Make sure that you check out LanceZCars.com and get ready to head out to my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, game two was the Rams in Seattle. Seattle was able to run for 136 yards, but the Rams, Cam Akers, holy crap. Now, Seattle's defense is no great shakes and hasn't been, and it's had its issues this season, but it was mostly against the pass. They ran it right down their throats. The Rams ran it right down their throats, and they beat with Jared Goff and John Wolford. Now, the Wolford hit it's kind of surprising. In the playoffs, apparently there's no targeting in the playoffs.
There is. It's the same rules.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, it's different in the playoffs. Goff was really shaky. He got a huge play. His first completion was just a Hail Mary that he threw up there, and it was well short, and they were able to make a comeback and make a play. And then that just – how they scored 30 points, I have no idea.
Listen, I don't know how what happened to Russell Wilson.
This 11 of 27, 174 yards, two TDs and an interception.
This is one of the strangest things. I've never seen a guy go from looking like a lock for the MVP through the first eight games, literally first half of the season, it looks like a lock, to really he was bad the second half of the season. Yeah. He looked like a completely different quarterback. I don't know what happened to Russell Wilson over the second half of the season. But Cam Akers, it's kind of similar. I had Cam Akers on my fantasy team, almost completely worthless, except for like the last 4 weeks of the fantasy season. Cam Akers couldn't get on the field behind Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown, couldn't get on the field. Every once in a while, he'd be here, there. But this is classic rookie running back. I remember this was the case with Sed Benson, too. A lot of times they just don't play rookie running backs early on if they don't have to, because they don't know the blitz pickups, yeah, their work ethic a lot of times isn't as good. They haven't figured out how to be pros. But I remember his tape, like I had him as a number two behind DeAndre Swift. I had Swift one and Akers two. And I'm like, man, how is Akers not playing ahead of these guys? Once he finally makes the coaches comfortable, this dude is a serious threat.
No, he is.
And this is why you don't pay second contracts. This is why it's hard to pay second contracts to running backs. And this is why you should consider drafting a running back inside the top 50. Because most people think it's just running backs have no value. No, that's not true. Running backs do have value, especially if you get them on a five-year deal in the first round, which the Rams didn't get Cam Akers until the second round, I think. But the point is, that's when you want them. When you can use them the most, that's when you want them on that cheap rookie deal. The problem is the second year, you know, if you do the extension early, like with Dalvin Cook, then it makes a little more sense. You get like a 7-year run instead of having to have it even more. But Cam Akers is a – boy, so Cam Akers ran the ball well. They're advancing on. Alvin Kamara really came out strong in the second half as a runner. They're advancing on. James Hunt and Chubb combined for over 200 scrimmage yards and this, that, and the other, they're moving on. James Conner and the Steelers just refuse to run the ball anymore. They're going home. Now, the Colts run the ball, and they kept it close. But
well, the Tennessee couldn't run the ball.
Oh, they're going home.
40 yards for dude.
Yeah,
40.
They sold out. And
but back to that, the Rams game. Here's the problem with the Rams. Aaron Donald. Did you see the play where he hurt his ribs?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, of all people, looked like it, that, or maybe he just aggravated it there. And then Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp hurt his knee as well.
Yeah.
So now, what do you think that line is against Green Bay? Did you see it yet?
I would guess it's probably going to be close to seven.
Seven. It's seven. Yeah. It's seven. And then Tampa and New Orleans.
Ooh, in New Orleans?
In New Orleans.
Ooh, I bet that's not super high. I'm going to say maybe New Orleans 1.5.
3.
Okay.
The Bucs didn't look great. Taylor Heinicke. Okay, let me ask you this question. Okay, two questions, because you just talked about Russell Wilson. There was no question that Russell, the order of guys that you would want on your team right now would be Mahomes, Rodgers, and then Russell Wilson was probably third on most everybody's list.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Deshaun right now or Russell Wilson?
Probably Russell, but
I don't know about that.
When is he gonna break out of it?
I don't know about that.
You know, he hasn't broken out of it.
I would take Deshaun.
Well, there's a huge body of work for Russ that we can lean on.
But
right now he is just not looking. I feel like, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to make an argument for Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah. Then secondly, name the backup quarterbacks that you want on your team. What in the league?
Marcus Mariota would be up there for me.
He would be?
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan Fitzpatrick would be way up there for me, for sure.
God, now I got to go through backup quarterbacks. I mean, Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit.
Would you want him running your team if your starter went down?
No, obviously Fitz would be number one for me.
Fitz would be number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then?
I don't know. I got to think about who all the backups are right now. There's probably somebody sitting there quietly. Case? I don't know.
Case would be up there. Yeah. But Taylor Heinicke made a case for himself.
Well, in one game.
Well, yeah. but that one game in the biggest situation. And now, and he, I'm telling you, he moved up way up the list. And dude, how much money did he make himself?
Del, would you like to tell John what happened with Taylor Heinicke, or do you want me to? I'm assuming you know what happened with Taylor Heinicke.
I mean, you can.
In the internet? Okay. Well, people went pouring through all of his Twitter to go see if they could find something on him.
I missed this part.
Yeah. So
what he supports, not great for him in today's world.
Yeah.
People
went pouring through all of his old tweets to go see.
Did he vote for Trump? We're going to have to cancel him.
Oh, yeah. Well, Twitter has kind of canceled.
He's already canceled?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
Yeah, it happened
Sunday. I was just watching the football.
Well, actually, but this isn't a story nationally. I'm just telling you, it's a Twitter. Like somebody said, well, I'll show you. You want to step up on the big stage? Yeah. Let me go through your Twitter. If you were about to make a start, you better just go ahead and make your account private.
To me, the list of horrible people in the world probably goes pedophile, dude. Then it goes dude that looks on Twitter for your past.
Above murder?
Yeah, and then murder. Then murder. Right. Right. I mean, by all accounts, somebody told me, he said, I know OJ. He's a great guy. You know, other than all that killing and stuff, he was a great guy. So
By all accounts.
There were several accounts that
it wasn't even just the last night. There were several accounts where the juice was not a great guy.
Well, but if you play
maybe
golf
not by
with him,
all
if
accounts.
If you play golf with him, he's a great guy.
Oh, if you played around with him.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Great guy. So, you know, but a guy that looks for your Twitter past, to me, is the lowest, scummiest, slithering on his stomach.
I'm not a big fan of that guy either, but Heinicke did have a really, I wrote him up my very first year I did this. I remember writing him up from Old Dominion, and mm-hmm. he's in the XFL. He's kind of just tried to stave off insurance salesmen.
Battlehawks, go Battlehawks.
Yeah, he tried to stave off insurance salesmen as long as he possibly could. And
he has.
Before you know it, here he was putting together a strong performance.
He's going to get paid. He's in the league now for another 10 years just because we know that he can come into a game and win a game for you, or at least compete, or at least and lead. Listen, was he not there? I mean, how in the world are you even playing? He was on the roster. And once Alex Smith went down, there's no question that this is your guy. And he must not practice well or something. How it took this long to get him on the field is, to me, is kind of funny. But he looked great. He looked unbelievable. Now, they did go a little overboard on it, though. I mean, every single pass, Tony Dungy, it was like he's his kid. It was a little overboard with how Taylor Heinicke was just the greatest coming of any player we've ever seen.
They acted like he was the walk-on and he was out right there doing stuff. Taylor Heinicke, hold on. Guys, I do this. Stop talking this about me.
Yeah.
Stop talking about me like I'm a fan they pulled out of the stands to come play.
Yeah, no question. So the fact that they, you know, he was just awesome. Just awesome.
Yeah, but who did he vote for though?
That's the key.
That's the important question.
Who in the hell did he vote for? The Bucks didn't look great. Bucks didn't look great.
No, they didn't. They didn't look great, and you know they haven't looked great for a lot of the year.
No,
they've won, but they haven't looked great for a lot of the year, and I just don't. The Rams just don't, as you mentioned, it's not quite right for the Rams to win. The Bucks didn't quite. It's not quite right for them to win. It is
the Saints. Wasn't quite right.
No,
for them to win.
No, I think the Saints. They just can't get the right Drew Brees back. He just doesn't quite look the same. But you did get Mike Thomas back. They definitely have a chance. I think they definitely have a chance against Green Bay because they have a good defense. It's hard to shut down the Chicago Bears. That offense is super explosive. The quarterbacking from Mitchell Trubisky is at an all-pro level. How the Saints are able to do it, I have no idea.
Is this because you only watch the Bears against the Texans?
Yeah.
That's why you feel that way?
Well,
yeah, I didn't see him other than that. Aren't they good offensively?
No, not really.
How'd you like that last touchdown?
Oh, fantastic. What a great drive. The Saints go from being up 14 in the fourth quarter to somehow.
Somebody's bitter about that last Jimmy Graham touchdown.
Well, what an amazing one-hand catch, though. And Jimmy ran into the, you know, he just, after he caught it, he knew he'd made this spectacular catch, which wasn't even intended for him. And then he runs into the little tunnel there, and I was just hoping somebody would have thrown a bunch of.
Hey.
What?
Why?
What are you talking
about? You don't
want
them to try?
I just, you know what? Move forward. Don't get people hurt. Run the ball and end the game. Don't get people hurt.
757.
Hurry up offenses in meaningless games can get people hurt. You can pull Saban talked about this a long time ago. You can't play faster. You can pull muscles.
All right. We'll talk about that Browns game on the other side. Plus, we've got to get to the Rockets as well. And we still got, man, there's a lot more to unpeel with the Texans, too. So don't you go anywhere here on ESPN 97.
Worst onion of all time.
Well, no. There's a lot of stuff to unpeel. Right now, Lee and Paul, they recently retired, wanted to downsize. Just 2 days on the market. They had 24 showings, 9 offers, sold their home for $7,000 over the asking price. Now, here's the thing: a lot of times when you find a home that you want to buy, and you're like, okay, we want to buy this house, we got to get out of this house as soon as we possibly can. Well, then you go with the guy and the company, the Keller Williams Platinum Group, the Lance Loken Group, and the Keller Williams Platinum. Their average is 15 days on the market. The average is 15 days on the market. So you can get out of your house really, really quick. But they've also got a buy before you sell program. And they also have an immediate cash offer program. If you go with another agent, they don't have this stuff. They just don't have this stuff. They've got it at the Loken Group because they're the number one team in the entire state of Texas, number two in the world in volume sold within Keller Williams. This is just the best group that you could possibly have. There's an auction-like atmosphere for your home, which other people don't have because they don't have access to the amount of buyers that Keller Williams, that Lance Loken has. So if you're looking for the best way to sell your home, the only one that you should call is the Lance Loken Group, 281-861-4624. You want to sell your home or you want to buy a home, 281-861-4624 or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, theLokenGroup.com.
ESPN 92.5. 97.5.
What do one of the world's top food cities, a nationally celebrated zoo and science museum, and a Condé Nast Traveler Top 10 Best Big City in the Country have in common? Yes, it's Columbus. This isn't just a stop on the map. It's where award-winning flavors, unforgettable family moments, and big city buzz come together. Let's be honest, Columbus is turning heads. For top-of-the-line discoveries in your own backyard, visit experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.